Welcome to another episode of Managing Change on Internet Blog Talk Radio, host Ronald Allen. This is home for truly engaging conversation. Managing Change brings you an eclectic perspective on issues that affect you, the individual, the family nucleus, careers, business, and that entrepreneurial spirit that is uniquely American. And yes, a word or two about life's perspectives on managing change for that human touch that drives us to unique heights of accomplishment. Carve out the time every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. for Managing Change on InternetBlogTalkRadio.com. Search Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen. Now, also here at www.managingchange2.com. Internet radio at its best.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of Managing Change. I am your host, Ronald Allen, and tonight we're talking about endurance through change, managing change. You know, many of us may not realize that we are constantly in a battle. From the time that we're born till the time that we decease, in creating and enduring life's challenges. And endurance is today's theme. Why do we take that? Well, we've come out, and we are actually still quite buried, in an economic slump in many areas. The economic forecast is that manufacturing, as much as it's growing, it's not growing at a rate that typically we would consider as growth, successful growth. Of course, because of 2007 and 8 and the fallout in the financial sectors that has affected everybody, there are growth spurts. But the level that most of us had experienced, banked on, and grew our personalities, our perspectives, our very businesses is certainly not there. Certainly in marginal sectors of the economy, you will see great growth. Most of us, though, endure massive change, both in our careers, in our paychecks, in our expectations. So tonight's program, we're going to talk about two individuals that have endured change, and we're talking as far back as 1965, when a gentleman called Ed Catmull, you may know him as the CEO of Pixar, that recently, relatively recently, monumental giant in animation, movies, cartoons, where he had been studying technology back in the University of Utah in 1965, where he actually created in 72 a four-minute film, computer-generated. This was the start of what we now know today as Pixar. He piggybacked off the financial prowess of Steve Jobs and the creativity of Walt Disney. You know, Walt Disney had created theme parks, he had developed music, sound, and animation, and he took it to a level where today we take it for granted. Yet the endurance of financial investors second-guessing him, not believing that the consumer would buy into this new technology, were his challenges. So tonight's program, we're going to talk and bring you a very broad base of thinking. And we're going to couch this in the concept of leadership, endurance, leadership not just of people, in leadership of yourself, leadership of your own belief systems. So we will kick off our program. You're listening to Managing Change on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Ronald Allen, and we do welcome your calls at 347-843-4378. We have also opened up the chat room so that you can send in your questions, your concerns, your observations. We do welcome them, as we've had them in the past on other guest programs. Just to bring you up to date, you know that the 16th Annual Alliance, the Mid-Atlantic Small Business Procurement Fair, is kicking off on March the 31st. That's just 2 days away now. I'm sure you're sketching your vendors that you're going to be meeting with, looking for opportunities, even if you're not a member of any of the national certification programs. As a small business owner, you should come and find out what's going on, because these organizations are the pulse of our economy. Are they buying more supplies? What type of goods and services are they buying? Can you match? Are you able to match the type of delivery, volume, quantities that they need? Do you have the capacity as a business owner, as an entrepreneur? Is this an area that you might wish to begin to develop so that in the next 24 months, 36 months, you are in a position, a more favorable position, to take advantage? That's what the Mid-Atlantic Conference means to me as a small business consultant, business advisor, and in complementing my other platforms of marketing. So that is, as you know, you can just go to their website. It's the, let's see here, Alliance for Biz, Alliance for ForBiz.com. And you know my good friend who has been co-hosting a series of interviews we had on Managing Change right here on Blog Talk Radio, Kathy Dewar, is the host of these events. She's been doing them for some 20-plus years. So by all means, go to that website, AllianceForBiz.com, sign up, and or consider attending. You know, we've also got, I'm sitting on a number of other opportunities to share information. One is the Healthcare Executive Decision. It's actually an annual healthcare industry summit. Now, healthcare affects everybody, whether you're a young child, first-time parent, single individual, a business owner, corporate executives, all having to manage those employee benefits. This is a great opportunity to find out what the state of New Jersey is doing to help both address healthcare issues, begin to provide support in employment opportunities, and of course, develop curriculum so that those who are seeking further advancement in the field or those who are just entering can understand what skill sets, what capabilities, what book of knowledge you need to build. So we're going to, again, bring you some of these timely events. And this one is scheduled, by the way, for Tuesday, April the 12th, between 10 and 12. So it's a very fast, intense, informational workshop. You're listening to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen. And every Tuesday and Thursday, we do bring you an eclectic perspective on the topic of change. We talk about you, the individual, because change does start on the individual level. We talk about family, the dynamics of family that have significantly changed, and how people address those needs, those social, emotional, personal needs. As groups come together, different groups have defined the term family. Of course, business. We know that business is the driving force. That is our main focus. We give opportunities to us as immigrants, entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs coming out of universities, high school for that matter, all now because of technology, creating opportunities for themselves. And of course, life perspectives. Looking back, and at this stage, we can certainly start to look forward to perhaps 20, 30 years of really productive engagement in activities and businesses that we like. Again, technology is allowing us to work from home. I had a great conversation with a small business association director, and he said to me, 20, 25 years ago, when you thought of a small business, home-based business, banks would laugh at you if you went for funding. Individuals would think, well, it's a great hobby, but tell me what your real career is. Today, having a small business at home would supplement that part-time job that you got no satisfaction from. And if you're making $10,000, $20,000, even $50,000 part-time running a home-based business, those are the opportunities that we love to engage. As you know, we are continuing our series of small business interviews with Rising Tide Capital, that nonprofit out of Jersey City. We have a number of new prospects coming along our way. In addition, Haywood McCain, he runs a small nonprofit called NGEH. These are people who are born blind and or impaired, sight impaired. He himself, in his late 40s, if I'm not mistaken, was struck down with blindness. And even today, he's continuing to build his business. Stephen Francisco, National Brain Tumor Society. He's a 23-year veteran, I say veteran, survivor of brain tumor. That will be a very interesting interview that we will host. Also, we're reaching out to the Eastern Minority Supplier Development Council. Just because the summit is over, we certainly don't want to miss out on the opportunity to continue the information necessary for small and mid-middle market companies to engage in both corporate and government supply diversity opportunities. These are contracts. These are business revenue vehicles that are able to feed the small to mid-middle market vendor. You're listening to Managing Change on Blog Talk Radio. We invite your calls at 347-843-4378. So let's kick off our program. Endurance. We're talking about how you deal with life's endurance. Just to give you some frame here, Ed Catmull is running Pixar, and he talks about how disruption is required, a certain amount of messiness. And there's a delicate management that has to lay down what we call a stable foundation, that employees know what is the baseline, the foundation, if you will, of how the business is run, how relationships are conducted in this professional environment, how creativity can be allowed to go out and fail, but not fail to the extent that it risks the company's failure or the loss of investors' interest, but rather fail to learn, fail to say what did not work, and fail where you say, I can now take this experience, take this combination of steps and reconfigure them and then reapply. And perhaps with the help of outside people, perhaps the help of industries that are totally transient to what you're doing, can lend perspective. Some of the greatest corporations in the world have been doing this for many years. And Ed Catmull, in this report that I've pulled and have framed tonight's program around, talks about the need for sensitivity. You put people in charge with the notion and the understanding that they're going to drive in the same direction. They may not have the same time frame capability. At the same time, they're able to pass on the baton when things are not necessarily going right, or bring in that extra support, that extra service that is needed in their department. These are also skills, by the way, that people find in families, well-managed families, meaningful families, or what we call pushing up families. The skills are transferable. We talk about that only in business, not realizing that if we have a solid base, if we have a solid foundation in who we are, what we would like to do, and a support mechanism, then why can't we bring that same perspective into the family? Ed Catmull talks about that, both in all the services that an employee needs. If you think about it, when you go to lunch, are you going outside the building where your concentration, your continuity of thought is actually broken? Or are you able to stay within the building and get good food, nutritious food, and brainstorm because your mind has turned off, yet it is subconsciously thinking about the challenge, thinking about the problem? That's also true of family. When you're talking at lunch, when you're talking at supper, when you come together on the weekends, that's the same dynamics. We're looking at challenges that the family faces. Maybe a daughter is looking to go into a certain university, and there are emotions that are high. They don't want the daughter necessarily to move away. or the university is perfect and the parents are very much in support and they just want to make sure that the daughter knows we're in agreement. There's no miscommunication. These are the same tools we use in business. It's amazing how many managers and supervisors miss the opportunity. We'll be right back.
Why do I listen to Managing Change with Ronald Allen and guests on blogtalkradio.com? Because I get to hear somebody else tell their story that relates to me. Issues, changes, and accomplishments that affect my life. Whether you're experiencing a career change, going through a family discussion about change, or an entrepreneur navigating the changes in your industry, Ronald's guests share their stories about winning. They bring solutions to bear on your issues. They get me answers to today's challenges in life. That's why I listen. blogtalkradio.com. Search Managing Change in Managing Life's Changes.
Welcome back to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen, and you are listening to Managing Change on Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about endurance. We're talking about the need to understand how we can take different skill sets and manage them over time. And we're using Ed Catmull, who is the CEO of Pixar, as the example, the exemplar, if you will. Why? Because as far back as 1965, he had created one of the first computer-animated movies, and with the help of Steve Jobs, was able to take his ideas and concepts with his team and create the very first fully animated movies. And today, of course, as we know, that whole industry has been impacted. The ability to endure through change is a combination of insight, of passion for what you're doing, for understanding your market. We're going to focus on you, the individual, and we're going to start off with the term competitive greatness. What do we mean by competitive greatness? We're not born with competitive greatness. We acquire it. We feel it out. If we choose to focus on what we are naturally gravitated towards in life, if we understand and feel that even though parents may direct us in one direction, but our inclination takes us in a different. If our school moderators and guardians focus and push us in a different direction, we pull back and we are patient enough to learn from that experience and keep guiding ourselves to what we, again, naturally gravitate to. If we look at the greatest of leaders, they've always done what they wanted to, irrelevant of social, educational, even in some cases, spiritual guidance, because that's what they've gravitated towards. So in many cases, the external forces that we feel are just that, they're external forces, and it's the meaning we subscribe to them because of our conditioning. If we study the great leaders, the great creators, we'll find that it's their passion and then the ability to find resolve in enduring the challenges. It's not hard. It's not bad. It's meaning. What meaning do we give something? Is it more difficult or hard to do something you don't like and end up with something that you don't want? Or is it more a better opportunity to do something you do like, face the challenges, face the valleys and the oceans and the hills and the storms and the hails, and keep doing it? Life is made up of that, part of endurance. What about poise? We talk about poise in some of our other workshops, and some people say, well, what has that got to do in a business environment? What has that got to do with family? How does that help me manage my relationship, any kind of relationship for that matter? Well, let's take the word poise. I'm not going to give you the old dictionary meaning. I'm just going to ask you to think a moment. When we say poise, do we give ourselves a moment to respond? With Toastmasters, there's a simple strategy. Listen to what the person says, count off 3, 4, maybe even 5 seconds of silence, and then begin a ritual of feeding back. And I'm not going to go through, we're not talking about the stages to communicate. Rather, we're asking you to think of the emotional charges that are going off that perhaps are making you respond, react in not the most favorable manner. So in some cases, the pause is your best friend. It allows you to look around the room. It allows you to think of what you've heard, what you think you've heard. So poise can be silence, physically not speaking. Poise can be not physically moving, reacting. You know how some people use their hands, they're tapping, moving around. A lot of people, when they're in line, they're constantly doing something, physically generating some kind of stimulation in their body. What if you stood still? What if you just allow the person to say what they wanted? I'll give you an example. One time my wife and I had gone late to an appointment for a haircut. And we typically go to this one place. She goes to the women, I go to the guy, and we get our haircut. Well, this one time, we had not made an appointment. And I just came, and we were just nonchalant. One of the people behind the desk started berating us. And I just allowed the person to say what they wanted and moved away and sat down. To this very day, and we've been going there for about 10 years, she gives us the utmost respect. Not because I said anything, not because I corrected her, not because I needed to be right and make her wrong. Rather, it was the absence of behavior, the removal of the need to heighten the situation. And certainly at work, we all know that in many cases, people start to almost like two hippopotamuses attacking each other, rhinos, they attack each other. And then one concedes. And it's still a very contentious environment to work in. Sometimes we talk about confidence. What type of confidence? Confidence that we allow other people to get the last word? Is it confidence that we talk about in change that we, again, giving things certain meanings? Is it confidence that we bring in outside information and ask people to consider not what we think is important, but rather what others have done in similar situations and the outcomes that they achieved? Could that be something we wish to achieve? Perhaps, perhaps not. Maybe instead of looking for answers, we put questions on the table. So the congregation, the team, the neighborhood, if you're in community development, we know how contentious that can be. They can begin to bring answers. Because the fundamental aspect of change management is that everybody gets to work on the project. Everybody is valued on the project. Everybody's input. If not today, maybe tomorrow. Maybe phase 4. Maybe if the project is sidelined, maybe then we can bring that idea to the table. So there are multiple octopi tentacles of options, of possibilities that we can use in achieving our goals. And the broader our perspective, I use the word eclectic perspectives, then instead of looking at it as win, lose, 1, 2, A, B, we look at optimization of the resources given the challenge at hand and being willing to try other people's concepts, ideas first. We know that the leaders in corporations certainly want their ideas first. And that does have a direct impact on many of the supervisors, managers, business unit executives. Yet, if you look at some of the, again, leading companies, and we're looking at this Ed Catmull of Pixar, he has the ability and the confidence to engage his team, pass on that mantra to the frontline employee so that they are made a part of the solution they are part of. And unfortunately, and I've even on LinkedIn, when I've posted certain comments, people will say, oh, naive. Well, how naive if you think about some of the biggest challenges we've ever had. We're talking Nelson Mandela with South Africa, where the whole world had basically supported apartheid. Fact. Only when the economic social responsibility was brought to the height. Economic social responsibility. The economic impact of doing business with these companies, with investors, started showing that people did not want to invest in such a system. Social, it was publicly disdained. And the combination allowed for this system, which was, again, was many people may not realize, 70, 75 years, but long enough that it destroyed whole cultures, whole families, and even outside of the diaspora, it affected other social groups. Of course, Mahatma Gandhi, same thing, and he found it in Africa, his own people being treated as second-class citizens. And we can go on and on, whether it's Northern Ireland, whether it's Latin American countries, and of course, even European countries. We've seen it repeat across. And it's not until we make a voice and ask for a different combination, a different solution. And this is what's happened in corporations. People have started to look for companies that exhibit these traits. So it's not foreign. It's not that's a different problem. It's how we think. It's our perspective on how we want to engage in each other for us to win. If I want to beat you down and I consider that winning, then we will continue the old status quo. I dare say, because of technology, because of big data, we're now finding that there is a massive shift back to some level of humanity. You're listening to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen, and we're right here on Blog Talk Radio. Please give us a call at 347-843-4378. We're talking about endurance, how we are running marathons. Every lifespan, let's take our lifespan, that's a marathon. And yet, the one crucial aspect is we need endurance. And endurance comes in many ways. Endurance comes in the form of understanding the changes in our environment, understanding the impact that technology has created. Many people may not realize that when we talk about technology today, and I'm going to introduce another component here, digital globalization. When we think of the amount of tourists. Let's take an abstract example. You think of tourism, traveling. It was reported that in 1975, there were about 10 million flights for tourism. That has now doubled. If we look at the ability to raise funds through international platforms and not just the traditional investing through, you know, angel investors or business, traditional business means through brokers. Crowdfunding has completely shifted the dynamics. Now you can speak to your donor, you can speak to your investor one-on-one. And as we saw, massive corporations such as Facebook and others, Groupon, they've all managed to raise funds to get off the base, get off the floor, and then they went to the prime markets because they've proven their worth. Before, has that been possible? Ability to enjoy the initial stages has allowed these opportunities to exist. And then more and more of them are happening in what we consider emerging countries. What is also interesting about that, by the way, is that those emerging countries, as much as they had great growths, India, for example, 13, 14% growth, have cut back. And that's because of the fluctuation in investments, the challenges that we've all experienced since 2006, 2007. They've been cut back, but they're still growing. There's still great opportunities. It's just that much more, I won't say difficult or hard, but you have to do a little bit more homework. Talking about homework, you're listening to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen. Tonight's program is all about endurance. Endurance through change, managing change on the individual basis through the corporate enterprise. And as much as we like to put the templates in place and the methodologies in place, we really have to talk about the individual psychology, the makeup of how we think, where do we get these perspectives from, and are we going to adjust those perspectives because there are going to be many more forces looking to nibble away. We're going to talk about that as we continue with digital globalization as our second phase. We'll be right back after these momentary music. As we continue our program on managing change, my name is Ronald Allen, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. Our program, Managing Change, every Tuesday and Thursday brings you an eclectic perspective on the topic of change. Of course, we're talking about you, the individual, how you process change through your perspectives, your social, your cultural, your theological teachings create that perspective. And it's the meaning that we give to life's experiences that in some cases can be quite frustrating. Family dynamics, you know, sororities, fraternities, social clubs have always been a place where people have created family. Well, today that meaning has expanded. You can have family 10,000 miles away. You can have family on with different life forms. I mean, talking about the favorite dog and cat, bird, and many other creatures. People can call them family. Why? Because it gives them certain satisfaction, certain meaning. Again, we use that word when you give something a meaning, then that becomes more attractive, more personal for you. And not everybody seems to understand that, but that's okay. There's room for everybody. Business is the largest part of our discussions. You know, we've been having our series of small business development interviews, and of course the 16th Annual Alliance Small Business Procurement Fair coming up in Atlantic City on March the 31st, Mid-Atlantic 2016. Please go to Alliance for Biz, F-O-R-B-I-Z, alliance4biz.com. Sign up. I look at that not just if you're looking for procurement opportunities. Moreover, if you're simply looking to see if your company has the right capacity to do business with some of the bigger players. Are you looking to expand in the next couple of years? Do you realize what industry changes are happening? Many of the policies for expansion, whether it's the government with their budgets, looking to expand, are you aware of the impact that these things will have on your business? We're always talking about technology. At the same time, some of the fundamentals of our business need to be addressed. You know, our Ralph Petty has a great program of continuity planning. Well, even in when we talk about Ed Catmull of Pixar, Disney, Walt Disney, his grandchildren had to go to the board when the series of management had changed hands, changed direction. They had to go to the board to reinvigorate his vision. When we talk about succession planning and continuity planning, it's not just because there are going to be storms or breaks in communication or derailments, the usual catastrophes, but rather a breakdown in the mission, the goals, the vision of those that started the business. And it's the disruption that technology, we talked about digital globalization, is causing. There have been many companies in the past that have used what they call counterintelligence. What do we mean by that? Well, if you are looking at your type of business, whatever your business is, and if you look at what would a competitor do, what would a spy do to get to your information, how would they counter your delivery? How would they manage to pull 5, 10, 15% of the market away from you? If you set up a small team that their job is to essentially counter the efforts of the primary service or goods producers, how would they disrupt your business? And we're not talking about putting a spanner in the works, but rather creating a new technology, creating a new line of delivery, of identifying more so with your market than what you're currently doing. The term status quo then becomes truly obsolete. The term don't break it, don't fix it if it's not broken becomes obsolete, because there are going to be that high school kid that gets frustrated in a, you fill in the blanks, name of a store, and goes home and pulls together technology which is now available and goes into the market and finds funding. So when we talk about digital globalization, it is not just, well, we can now reach more people, we can now study their behaviors, we can now attract them through different social and psychological applications. We know the best in behavior. Rather, that behavior want to be part of the status quo of the big corporations. As we spoke in one of our other programs, do we need employee-employer relationships? And an example of that, as we discussed, was Integrity Staffing has created an online platform where you can go and trade your services with people around the world. Now, this is a first for a staffing company. It's one of the largest in the world. It serves some of the biggest corporations under the traditional business model. Yet they were smart enough and their ego wasn't in the way that they said, this is the type of platform where we can carve out a good percentage of revenue, and we can do it across the globe. Another company which was just brought to my attention today was GoGlozer, GoGlozer.com. This is another platform primarily for professional services that, like Elance, you are vetted, you go through a testing, and then you're allowed to offer your services. Again, the digital globalization works both ways. It's a double-edged sword. If the person in India or Australia or in the diaspora of Africa can reach out and present themselves as a small business, oh, wait a minute, what about that alliance, small business procurement fair? Maybe that will certainly be impacted to a percentage, 5, 10, whatever percent. You, the individual, can carve your niche and create economies of scale for you. Not everybody wants to scale up like Facebook or any of the other major online services or a traditional brick and mortar. They don't necessarily want to scale out. Maybe they just want to make $500,000 or $1 million. It's not unforeseeable. So endurance doesn't just mean hunkering down, putting the covers over your head and saying, okay, we're going to have to try and get through this. Rather, endurance means identifying your skill sets, identifying what's going on in the marketplace, and then positioning yourself either, as I certainly have, as a subprime, subcontractor for the primes, and or carving out that other community of business that feels maybe I don't want to have 3-4 million people as a listenership because that's not what I'm after. But rather, I want engagement. Technology allows me to do that. Analytics allows me to measure. And I can carve out that 5-10% increase in revenue that the strategic plan is calling for. And that's the difference. It's looking at the globe, looking how equity funds work, looking how Ed Catmull moved from a almost was a DOS application and moved into a pure digital environment. Yes, it was disruptive of artists. Absolutely. Yes, it was disruptive of skill sets that had been honed over years. That is life. Again, coming back to perspective, if we think for a minute that life is hard, it is. If we think for a minute that we are owed something, then we are fooling ourselves. Life is constant change. And whether it's changing your diapers at an early age or, as my wife says, hang on long enough, you'll go back to your diapers in later years, it is our ability to take our intelligence, to take all these methodologies and processes and begin to say, how and when do I use them to optimize my needs? And the smartest ones of us will bring other people along. We'll create opportunities. And it's amazing how many people have reached out and said, can we do this? Can we try that? What do you think of this? And it's not a financial investment initially. It's not a financial gain initially. All you have to do is look at the companies that took 15, 20, some cases 25 years to really build and carve out a niche, to survive, to endure. And that's what we're talking about. That's the kind of skill sets that you're going to need. It's great to get the certificate. It's great to get the trophy. They will tarnish and turn yellow in a very short period of time. If you allow your skills to take on that same persona, your skills will tarnish and turn yellow within a very short period of time. Because now our youth are having to re-engineer themselves every 5 years. I did a project the other day and I was saying, well, how quickly will technology change? I was looking at 5 or 10 years. They said every 18 months, technically every 18 months. Not to say that every company, of course, will go out and get the new technology. No. On the other hand, it does impact even on our cell phones. Take your cell phone. Can you, if you're willing to use the flip phone, which is fine, then you can use the flip phone just for messaging. It is essentially a beeper. On the other hand, if your service, your business, your needs require you to have more of a comprehensive engagement with your clients, then you will have to follow the technology. It doesn't mean you have to run after it. It doesn't mean you have to have the latest and greatest. It does mean you have to be aware of these dynamics which are happening in the industry, in your purview, if you will. And the disruption will come from those who are either uncomfortable, unhappy with the service that the bigger players provide, or simply see an opportunity. And it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be global in nature. It can be real small, and they will find that their endurance, their ability to carve out a niche. Industriousness. That's really the term, industriousness. Looking at technology, you know, we had a great interview with a gentleman called Jim Lee, and he's a financial guru of sorts. And yet we were talking about technology in its application and how you or I could invest in that technology. Another disruptor to the traditional brokerage house. Everything that we know, everything that we have been brought up to understand, the fundamental premise has changed. Do you need a newspaper? Okay. Do you need a camera? Do you need to have a very sophisticated team of three or four people to do an interview? Do you need to have the greatest TV experience when in many cases you can find alternatives? And that's the difference. We shift the definition of endurance to one of just a marathon running steadily in the wind, in the dirt, in the mud, to one of saying, well, wait a minute, maybe I could use a life jacket here. Watched a great program the other night about surfing. Wouldn't have watched it to save my life, but for some reason I was just attracted to it. And what I found, which was really interesting, is that those that do the real serious surfing, I'm talking about life and death, when you hit that wall of water, they have an inflatable vest inside, not the typical one that you see, one that's fairly close to the body, and then they pull a cord, and it ignites, and it sends off a beacon, and the team hopefully can come find you and rescue you. But that type of technology comes about because people are interested in that sport. Then the fabric, the technology to create the signal, that beacon, under those conditions. You're listening to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen, and we're talking about endurance. We're talking about the endurance through change right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can give us a call at 347-843-4378. And we're using Ed Catmull. He is the CEO of Pixar. Many of you may not realize that he started back in 65 with his interest in the technology, which didn't exist, and yet he pulled together what at that time was the essential ingredients of what we see today in some really incredible experiences. And that's what life really is about, isn't it? You're listening to Managing Change on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Special series on entrepreneurship being brought to you through a partnership with Rising Tide Capital and ManagingChange2.com. Rising Tide Capital is a Jersey City nonprofit that provides business training and support to small businesses throughout New Jersey. We are proud to be partnering with ManagingChange2.com to share the stories and journeys of entrepreneurs. The business owners featured in this series are all graduates of Rising Tide Capital's Community Business Academy, a 12-week program which provides the knowledge and skill set needed in order to start and grow a successful business. If you are looking to start a business, grow your business, or would like to learn how to get involved, visit www.risingtidecapital.org. Rising Tide Capital and ManagingChange2.com, providing a new perspective on change and the opportunity it creates.
Absolutely. You're listening to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen. And every Tuesday and Thursday, we bring you an eclectic perspective on change, all things on change. We talk about the individual, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a single parent, whether you're a young adult coming through the challenges of life, understanding yourself, understanding the values that you've accepted, understanding the experiences that you're going through are absolutely crucial. and we talk about leadership, we talk about self-development, self-efficacy. Working with others has totally changed that dynamic of individual. The term team, there is no I in team, is absolutely appropriate. And yet at the same time, an individual brought to my attention, yes, but there is a me. I thought that was very interesting because people who use word games, who do word puzzles or crossword puzzles, they're always apt to find another perspective. And that's how I accept that phrase. We can take old phrases and we can accept them. At the same time, we miss the perhaps the richness of another person's perspective. When we talk of change, are we really concerned about the child that has to go down to the river every morning to collect water? Are we concerned about the family member who has to leave their family for 6 months at a time? When we talk about change and we say, well, we want to change in the business, do we take into consideration that that might very well mean someone from a totally different culture who has far less than I can work at our same job functions and probably produce more accurate results, can compete for our jobs? When we talk about it, we're talking about the large picture, the macro, and then bringing that down to our level, our small little fiefdom, as you some people pronounce it, fiefdom, to our micro level. And as we get so-called older, do we downsize ourselves and retard ourselves out of society instead of transformation, repurposing? We use these terms as if only certain groups of people can really benefit from them. Yet, I submit to you that endurance is really for those that have lasted and are still engaged, willing to come back to battle in life's challenges. We've learned a thing or two. We have adapted. We have managed change. If we're willing to, if we're willing to put our egos to the side, perhaps, have a little humility. Some of these intangibles, you know, we talk about the intangibles of life which produce tangible results. Soft skills, for example, these are the values, these are the skill sets that produce value in a business, that produce the profits. Because without people, you really don't have a business. You can work it yourself for so long. At the same time, as Ed Catmull has explained in this report, in this paper, he has supported his employees not just with the environment to work, but all the accoutrements, all the support services. Catering, for example. He makes the employees pay for the catering. Why? What is the message that is being sent? The message is that here is a chef who has gone to culinary school, a recognized skill set, because without food, you're not going to go far. And you pay for his food. And the food is great. You don't have to go outside the building. He talks about the technology of using people who are outside the industry to test the validity of their work. The investors are behind the massive. We have to think more broadly. We have to think more inclusively of the many factors that make up our world. Our home, our neighborhood, our town is not the only thing at stake. You know, I had another conversation with a gentleman and we had spoke about how it's an incorporation, remember. Municipalities are incorporated. They raise money. They provide services. They provide lighting, roads. They get funding from the federal through the state. These are all impacted. So when we think about endurance, it is also watching out for our interests. If we're not looking and listening to our council people at the meeting, just as we need to listen and pay attention to our superintendents or teachers or guardians for our children, just as we should watch and observe each other to make sure we're on the right track. It's not a vendetta. It's not a, you know, look out for that bag on the bench. It's saying, I'm going to support you as long as we're working in the same direction. We have a long journey. Life is a long journey, and it can be a great journey, even with the challenges that we all face, even with the down times, even with the letdowns that we're going to experience. So when we bring that perspective into work and we look at that employee who's having a hard time, we can sit with them a moment. It doesn't take long. And just share with them that this too is a challenge that you are familiar with. And if you're not, you're willing to be patient to work them through those challenges. Because the cost, if you want to now go to the analytical business side of it, the cost of replacing that employee and up onboarding a new employee, making sure the skill sets are the same, and perhaps even having the challenge of the supplier, that other vendor, your client, not really feel comfortable with that new employee, which really means you have to now come out of your, which you should be able to, and service that client. For how long? How much? Do your stakeholders understand that when they see you taking time out working with your employees? It's a value judgment, definitely. Yet, it's the data that supports it. The data supports it. So we can't just look at data and say, yes, this is why I'm doing it. There is an intangible connection, a rapport building process that is required. And the value is far more than the dollar signs. You know how people talk about, I work for X number of hours for X number of dollars. That's the pauper's mentality. Where on the other hand, if you're looking at providing value to your client, looking and understanding their business model, and their business model could very well be, I'm punching holes in a factory. I'm making sure the jars are positioned properly as they go down the conveyor belt. I want to make sure that that tire is the right tire, that we have inventory, that the storm that's coming in is not going to upset the delivery of the product that we need for this weekend's production. That's the world that each of us manage. And if you're a secretary, executive secretary, what's your support mechanism? Endurance is having, considering all those things and realizing that you need to pay attention, give yourself a mantra, if you will, a beat to go by so that you take some time off, you rest for a while, and then you can come back to continue the challenge. We haven't talked on most of the topics I was going to actually get to tonight. Some of them are conditioning, mental, moral, physical. We can throw in spiritual. Yes, I think spiritual is important because the majority of people, even if you don't believe in a higher authority, are in some way connected to something. It's not defined. We don't have to define it. Skills, learning more. Because of the dynamics of life. Not because I want to get another degree, not because I want to have another credential, because I need to understand more and more. It's amazing how so many people will say, well, I have a certain degree, certain proficiency. And yet with the information that's coming out in terms of changing how we utilize data, how we interact, how more and more people are having to deal with people that they've never even known existed. That is amazing. The learning aspect, the willingness to learn, endears you to people. If you understand where their country is, if you understand a bit of their history, if you understand a bit of the opportunity that perhaps someone gave them, you endear yourself to them that much more. You connect. You build relationships. We are relationship creatures, by the way. Our basic psychology is we need to have relationships. Now, how earnest they are, that's a whole other issue. Enthusiasm. Some introvert may not like the way that you come across. So your enthusiasm has to be on par with the way that they feel is comfortable. Cooperation. Cooperation in what style? Just because I say I want to cooperate doesn't mean that I am cooperating. You know, many people misunderstand that term and say, well, I'm doing everything I can. That's an excuse. That's a way of making an excuse. That's like saying I'm trying. Cooperation is asking for understanding, asking for how you can cooperate. You know, in a couple of earlier programs, we talked about helping people who are seemingly less fortunate than you so you can learn their strengths. Let me repeat that. Helping people who seem to be less fortunate than you so you can learn their strengths. What if you could remind them of their strength? Maybe that could be the catalyst to have them move on. Not go back, not reestablish what they had, rather move on. I think life is a continuation. I think life is about helping people, learning what your strengths are, engaging those strengths, being around a supportive environment, always moving on. I don't think you can go back because the dynamics have changed. The purpose has changed. The meaning has changed. Friendship, we talked about friendship in terms of family. What is friendship? What is the meaning of friendship in a corporate environment where it is dog-eat-dog? Oh, it is. It definitely is. Let's make no mistake about it. So what does friendship mean? How do you guard yourself? Loyalty. If you are moving within one group, with one group, and the head changes, the organizational structure, reporting relationship changes. We've gone from a hierarchical system of management, and in many companies it still is, to a more flat system. Yet, make no mistake, people in positions with titles will remind you, and you cannot go and make end runs thinking that, well, it's an open door policy. You still must respect. You still have to have that rapport. Endurance requires it. We've seen that with Nature's Best. There is a hierarchical structure in order for the pack to survive. We mustn't ignore those things because of technology, or even because technology tells us, well, right now, this is the way we're reading your behavior, and this is how we interpret it. There are still nuances in human behavior that need to be addressed. And people, as we know, in different situations, the same person in different situations will respond differently. They will cloak it in religion. They will cloak it in their theology. They will cloak it in their culture. They will cloak it in their position, title, power, authoritative power. Very different. We're very inconsistent, and it'll be interesting to continue with some interviews that begin to address that aspect of our dynamics. You may recall I had a program about the anthropology of human behavior. It wasn't just a, ancestry.com thing. Rather, it showed that if you look back in your history, the behavior is passed on. And until we recognize that behavior, just as we need to at work, as people say, well, you can't change that, or this won't work. It didn't work then because of the dynamics. Maybe today it will. Maybe the combination, maybe the environment is ready for it. And even then, when I say that, how about turning that on its head when people say, well, it's not time. Make it time for certain things because they need to change. They need to be addressed. So, at any one time, are you able to look outside your own personal interests and look for the better output, the outcome of the whole? That is managing change. Thank you very much for tonight's program. My name is Ronald Allen. The program is called Managing Change on Blog Talk Radio. And every Tuesday and Thursday, you will hear us as we both bring you guest interviews and my own iteration of what change is all about. You have a great evening, and see you Thursday.
You have been listening to Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen, on Internet Blog Talk Radio with guests providing their perspectives about you, the individual, the family nucleus, your career, your business, and your entrepreneurial spirit, life's perspectives about managing change. Join Ronald and guests every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. for another episode about managing change on InternetBlogTalkRadio.com. Remember, the program is now showcased on managingchange2.com, where you can search for your favorite guest interview or get in touch with them and start a chat, enter their forum, or start your own public or private group to engage others in managing change. Catch Managing Change Internet Blog Talk Radio.com. Search Managing Change every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Be seeing you.